another hour of Mace Detective, Private Detective, brought to you by the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk. This hour of programming is supported by the Santa Cruz Seaside Company, owners of the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk and the newly remodeled Boardwalk Bowl, formerly the Surf Bowl. Officially opening on October 18th for bowling only with all new lanes, new interior, and new attitude, the Boardwalk Bowl debuts its total remodel on December 15th with a new bar called Coasters, a new eatery called BB Eats, new arcades, and a new party room. The new bowling alley also offers atomic bowling on Thursday and Sunday nights and karaoke nights on Wednesday. Across from the boardwalk at 115 Cliff Street, you can call 426-3324 for more information. Today's Mace Detective case, Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone.
I'd spent the morning at the reservoir, reading Highlights magazine and trying to sort out my twisted thoughts. I'd spent the last 3 days trying to fend off reporters asking about the Pop and Jay's whiz bang case I'd solved. It's a long story, but it involved the mayor, a web of deceit, and a series of horrible amusement park decapitations. I'd even gotten hitched for a day, but it was annulled on account of the fact that I was already married to a tall, dark beauty named Jack Daniels. Right now I was sucking the stuff down like I was a starving baby, and it was the world's last teat. It was quiet enough here, but something stank. I thought it was just me, because I had been wearing the same clothes for the past week. But it was something else, too. A powerful stench of intrigue. I headed back to my office when Lady Fate intervened, in the adorable guise of a newsie.
X-Tree! Industrious Pinkleton's mayor campaign, pick it up steam!
Sounds all right, kid. What is it worth, 2 bits?
Comes with a decoder ring today, Mace.
I usually leave reading to the college boys and invalids, but I couldn't pass up that decoder ring. Next week was a big contest on Remington's Space Boy Adventure Hour, and I wanted a shot at that Red Ryder BB gun. The first thing I saw when I walked into my waiting room was the hindquarters of a certain Cynthia Reed, lady secretary. She was leaning over the Mr. Coffee, which apparently was Mr. Broken. She turned around.
Mace, there are two fellas in your office, and they want to talk to you about a case. It seems like a big one.
Good. That's where our money comes from, sugar.
Does this mean we're not going to jitterbug to Vic's Better Beater Back tomorrow night at the Cotton Club?
If it's as big as you say, honey, I reckon you'll have to jitterbug your way to bingo night at St. Anne's Episcopal.
Oh, Mace.
I walked into my office and found a flock of fancy pants perched on my couch. The fat one I recognized from the front page of my paper. He was W.T. Pilkington, the man who would be mayor. Not to mention the man who run the plant out by the reservoir. The little one next to him, though, I didn't recognize. Though I recognized he was wearing an ugly hat.
Good afternoon, Mr. Detective. I'm W.T. Pinkerton.
I guessed.
And this is my colleague, Tiny Little.
My friends call me Big.
Well, you boys know the song. Sing it.
It's my daughter, Mace. She's missing.
I don't know if I do, missing persons.
Here's a picture.
Boy, was she candy for the eyes. Did I say I don't do missing persons? I meant that I don't do missing ugly people. As far as I'm concerned, they can stay lost. I'm in. Tell me more.
She'd been hanging around with the wrong crowd, Mace. Mainliners, reefer men, you know this story. I haven't heard from her in a month and a half.
But now you're running for mayor and you want to tie up the loose ends.
Give the man a little credit. He loves his daughter.
Does she have any friends she could be hiding out with?
I've checked out all her friends from school and church, but she once brought home a girl I didn't know to our house for dinner, a low-life type. I think she pocketed some of our silverware. Her name was Shirley.
That's all you've got?
That and a stack of C-notes thicker than a dictionary.
Abridged or unabridged?
Unabridged, my friend. Think you can do it, tough guy?
For a bankroll that big, I'll find a Lindbergh baby. Give me those pictures. I took the pictures, showed the gentleman to the door, and showed myself down the street to the floral arrangement. It was a watering hole for the local lowlife. It was a real man's bar. Plenty of spitting, scratching, and scrapping. There's a lot of things to recommend the place. I like the drinks, I like the music, and I like the gentlemanly companionship. I saw a couple of friends as I sat down at the bar.
Hey, Mace.
Howdy, big fella.
Hi, Lance. Hi, Raul. Shifty, the barkeep, idled up to my seat. I liked him because he always fed me the straight dope on what was going on in the streets. I disliked him because he lost half his mouth in a knife fight, and he wasn't much to look at.
How's the weather, Mace?
Cloudy with a chance of kidnapping, but I've got the best meteorologist in the business.
Thanks, Mace. I appreciate that. Shall I get you a tropical squall?
I like the colorful drink. It distracts me from Shifty's face. Without looking at his hideous mug, I handed him the photo. Shifty, do you remember these girls?
I think I've seen them before, together. Who's the one on the right?
A missing girl.
I don't know her name. The other one, that's Shirley Easy.
Is she?
If you've got the money, Mace. She's a streetwalker. She left a calling card here, but I think it's safe to say it'll be of more use to you than I.
Thanks, Shifty. Goodbye, Lance. Goodbye, Raul.
Goodbye, Mace.
See you at Limbo tomorrow.
We'll see, boys. We'll see. I downed my drink and walked out into the afternoon air. Sometimes life resembled a What's Wrong With This Picture puzzle from Highlights Magazine. Mayoral candidates' daughters weren't streetwalkers, and deer don't wear top hats. Unless it's a really special occasion, or the deer is a magician. I headed back to the office. I had a call to make.
Hello?
My name's Mace Detective. I'm looking for Sunshine Pilkington.
Who are you?
I'm a man who's looking for her.
Listen, she's out of the life.
Not like that, sister. I'm trying to help her out.
And you're a detective.
Can you tell me where I can find her?
I don't know if I can tell you that.
I sensed I was getting the run around. I knew how this game worked. She told me to meet her somewhere, and that somewhere would end up being a swamp where alligators would bite me. Well, I wasn't going to fall for that trick, not after what happened last summer. Oh, God. I'm still partially deaf from my own girlish scream. Oh, well. At least I got some luggage out of it. I was going to get some answers now. Some people needed something to get them to talk. For Mr. Ed, it was a scoop of peanut butter. But for others, it was a scoop of fists. So what's it going to be, sweetheart? Peanut butter or fists?
I don't know what you're talking about.
So you're going to hardball me, huh? Well, sometimes peanut butter wasn't enough for Mr. Ed either. And that's when they got the cattle prod.
Listen, I can't talk over the phone. Maybe if you come into my work tomorrow, you could pay for an hour and we'll talk then.
Fine.
117th and Lennox. Tell the man in the front you've come to read the meters for an hour with Shirley.
I don't usually take kindly to the runaround. And when she'd offered me a big spoonful the first time, I declined. But then she made it like it was an airplane. I couldn't help but open the hangar. I'm a sucker for airplanes and other things that go... In walked Cynthia. She looked at me with longing eyes, the kind of puppy dog gets when you pretend to throw a ball, and then you let it fall behind you. The puppy can run and run, but he'll never catch that ball. You've still got it. Stupid puppies.
Mace, those two gentlemen are here to see you again.
Let them in. And don't just stand there, sugar. Get them something to drink.
I had the champagne chilled, but I thought that would be for us.
Sorry, honey. Business before pleasure. Here's a dollar. And sugar?
Yeah, Mace?
Take the change.
Yeah, Mace?
And buy me a curtain of foul mouths and a girly mag.
Oh. Okay, Mace.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Care for a piece of taffy?
We're not here for taffy, Mace. We're here for an update.
On the girl, the missing one.
I might have a few leads.
What the hell are they, Flatfoot?
Don't get testy, boss. Did you know your daughter had been selling herself?
Of course!
Shut up, Tiny. That's preposterous. My daughter was a hall monitor of such distinction, her sash has been retired to the trophy case of George Washington Primary School. Where the hell has she been the whole time?
A house of ill repute at 117th and Lennox.
Is she still there now?
When I find out, I'll let you know.
When you do, sir, you'll be well compensated.
I had trouble sleeping that night. There was something about my conversation with Pilkington that seemed funny. Not funny like a clown being hit in the face with a pie, but funny like the clown killed a bunch of people, but we just can't prove it. It didn't matter. I'd talk to a friend tomorrow, and all the pieces would fall into place. Like a puzzle you shook up. And also, the puzzle was magic. Didn't turn out that way, though. When I got to the horror house, The joint had more blue than a footwear store. No, I'm thinking of a shoe. Okay, what about this one? There was more fuzz than the lint wrap on laundry day. There were cops there, is my point. In shoes, might I add. I saw my old friend from the fourth, Tom O'Grady. O'Grady, what's the story here?
Oh, howdy, Mace. I hope you didn't have a big lunch, because someone served a nice blood buffet with a side of gore in there. A multiple homicide. Someone had it out for the ladies of the night. There's about a dozen in there, although some of them, there's only about half left.
You got a Shirley Easy on that list?
Ah, indeed I do, Mace. Are you two friends?
She was a source.
Their pimp wasn't in there, but we can't find him. Street name's Eddie Sparkles.
I'll see what I can do with that. Thanks, Tom.
Hey, Mace.
What's that?
You ever think about coming back to the farce?
Sometimes, Tom. But it gives me a headache. It didn't take long to find Eddie Sparkles. I had a lot of lonely friends, and it turns out Eddie was quite the self-promoter. We made arrangements to meet on the docks. I recognized him immediately. He had what looked like a 10-pound diamond on his pinky, and a hat the size of Oklahoma. He said dock worker, like a porcupine said pet me. Thanks for your help, Eddie. These must be tough times for you.
Hey, you said it, Mace. I'm using this 20 to cover my cosmetic dentistry bill. The 5-0 was looking for me high and low, and I'm their only suspect in the killings. And I'm scared they want to set me up with a one-way ticket on the train to the electric lazy boy.
Did you do it, Eddie?
Hell no, Mace. Why would I do something like that? Why would I kill my own product?
Well, who did?
I was running, so I didn't see much. But I did see a guy with a real funny hat. It was real scary stuff, Mace. Scary stuff.
Listen, I'm looking for a girl who used to be yours. Named Sunshine. Here's a picture.
Yeah, I know her. She was going straight, though, I think. Last I heard, she was singing at the Blue Note nights, working at Woolworth's lunch counter days, till they caught her pilfering sarsaparilla.
The Blue Note?
Yeah, Mace. It's all I know.
That might be enough. Here's another 20, Eddie. That crown's looking tarnished. It was getting late, so I turned in. I needed to figure some things out. Somebody didn't want me finding out too much, and it was probably the same person Sunshine was so scared of. I had to figure that when I found her, I'd find my answers. But I found something else the next day when I came into the office. A human hand nailed to the door. It was a hand like any other, except this one had a ring with a diamond the size of a cherry. I felt like I was going in circles. I was following a trail of bodies, and a trail of bodies was following me. That night, I headed out to the Blue Note to see if I could track down Sunshine. She wasn't singing that night, but for a 10 spot, there was a waiter who would.
What can I tell you, mon ami?
I'm looking for Sunshine.
Aren't we all, mon ami? These are dark times.
Cut the jokes, Frenchie. This is serious. Do you know where she lives?
I must admit I have been there a few times. Most of us around here have.
Yeah, cut the jibber-jabber and spill the beans.
Okay. 224 Sunset Terrace. A little pink job.
I wasn't going to waste time. I got up and headed for the door. For a second, I thought I saw a hat and a little fella, and I hit the floor.
Ah!
By the time I got up, the waiter and the shooter were too far gone. So I did the smart thing and hustled out of there. I was a little too wired to go straight to Sunshine's place. So I took a Lil Abner comic strip break. Lil Abner was eating a fish from the alley behind the fishmongers. The caption read, "This fish is probably full of horrible diseases, but I guess that's better than dying of hunger." That Lil Abner. Always up to something. Refreshed, I headed out to Sunset Terrace. The house was just as the waiter described it. Little, and pink. She came right to the door when I rang, and she seemed anxious to let me in. The picture, I must say, didn't do her justice. They didn't call her Sunshine for nothing. She was prettier than a perfect day at an empty beach. And I mean empty because it was on a secluded island, not because people were dumping their garbage in it or because there was a lot of dead fish on the sand. She smelled more like flowers than dead fish. Unless there's a flower called dead fish.
Why don't you come in, Mr. Detective?
We entered the living room. There were pictures of her and Shirley everywhere. She put a record on the turntable and sat down next to me on the couch. So close, I could almost hear the thoughts she was thinking. Either that or she was talking.
Are you listening to me, Mace?
What?
I was telling you about my father.
Why don't you start over?
I think he's out to get me, Mace. When I was living at home, I threatened to tell his secrets, so he hired Eddie to turn me out. You know, keep me under control.
I'd probably have just bought her a pony, but this story was just starting to get juicy. Those secrets were the key to the puzzle door. I had to let this cap run.
When I went straight and I started singing, he didn't know what to do. I think he wanted to kill me.
He hired me to find you, you know.
I know, Mace, but I feel like I can trust you.
I feel like you can trust me, too. Why don't you come a little closer?
You're so strong, Mace.
I work out.
Mace, I need to show you something.
Really? Well, I guess there's always time for a...
We've got to get down to the brass tacks, Mace.
Brass tacks, shards of glass. Hey, I'm flexible.
Let me show you my notebook.
Wait, is this a funny notebook, or...
It's very serious, Mace.
Serious like, you know...
Mace, I'm not talking about doing it.
Oh. And could you start over? She handed me a notebook full of some kind of crazy moon language. Needless to say, I don't speak moon language. I'm no Martian. What's this business?
My father's company's been dumping chemicals in the reservoir. You know how the mayor never put in those water filters he promised? The way my dad figured, if the water went bad, folks would blame the mayor, and Dad would win the election easy. This notebook has all of his notes about it, but I don't know how to read them. Right now, I'm just so scared. What if I get killed or lost, or I can't find something important, like my car keys or my wallet? What if...
You're getting hysterical, Sunshine.
Mace, will you hold me?
I'll hold you in the morning. Right now, why don't you get those brass tacks? As tired as I was, I couldn't sleep that night. I got up, planted a kiss on Sunshine's forehead, and went back to the office. I spent about an hour just staring at that notebook, trying to think like a Martian. But no matter how hard I tried, I still came back to good old Earth thinking. What would Spaceboy do? That guy always had the answers. That was when I remembered the decoder ring I'd gotten from the paper. It was so simple it couldn't possibly work. But it did. Moon letter after moon letter gave way to beautiful English phrases. I worked hour after hour, and the longer I worked, the more of Pilkington's story unraveled. There was enough here for a lifetime vacation to the clink. At some point, I fell asleep, and the phone woke me up. It was Officer O'Grady. Mace here.
I've got bad news for you, Mace.
I've got good news for you, Tom. Why don't you go first?
Remember that girl you were looking for, Sunshine Pilkington?
Yeah, I found her.
So did we, with 3 bullets in her head.
I didn't know what to say. I felt a rush of emotions, like Bloomingdale's the day after Thanksgiving. What if I'd been there? What if I was snuggling? What then?
We haven't got much, Mace, but we found a hat on the scene with Return to Big written on the inside band.
I'm coming down to the station. Normally, me and the cops was like orange juice and toothpaste, but my Sunshine was dead. When I got to the station, I told them what I knew. The pieces were all together now. Pilkington was sending his lackey to do his dirty work. Big Tiny was the man in the hat. That rich guy was so sick, he had his own daughter shot. I wanted him sent away for a long time. The notebook was enough to get him in for a few, but I wanted him to rot in there. So I agreed to put on a wire and arrange a meeting at my office. He came in with Big Tiny, both of them looking sweaty and tired. The minute they stepped across my threshold, I wanted to make like an Aztec and play basketball with their heads. Or at least eat their still beating hearts. Maybe even make them wear sweaters made of low quality wool. Oh, they would itch. Mark my words, they would itch. But first, I had to get them talking. Gentlemen.
Mace, I'm terribly sorry to inform you that we won't be needing your services any longer.
We took care of it ourselves.
Right now, Sunshine is at home, helping her mother put up the beats.
The family loves beats, Mace. Here's a C-note for your trouble.
I didn't realize that your kitchen was in the morgue, Pilkington.
How could you know?
Know what?
that I had her killed.
She's not the only one, is she, Pilkington? What about the
prostitute? There was more, Mace. And if you don't stop getting fresh, take this money and shut your damn mouth. I'm going to add one more to the list.
In times of moral crisis, I think about Goofus and Gallant. Right now, Goofus would do something rash, like take his raincoat, throw it over their heads, and push them out the window. That was Goofus for you, never thinking first that he might be ruining a perfectly good raincoat. Gallant, on the other hand, would let them keep talking, then bring in the police to close the case. But I was in a Goofus kind of mood. I drew my fist and gave Tiny and Pilkington a good look at him. Hey, Pilkington, Dr. Mace has a prescription for you. Take two of these and call me when you're dead.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
Ah!
Ah! Ah! Go! 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 Not again!
Oh, yeah.
Ah!
Yeah, I just hit you.
Oh, I hate punching.
Oh, you're getting hit by the face by me.
Oh, 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 it's so sore.
Oh, there's blood everywhere.
Oh.
I think we got what we need, Mace. Boys, handcuff these two gentlemen.
Curse you, Mace Detective!
Yell if you want, Pilkington. You'll be doing a lot of yelling where you're headed. That was how it ended. We got our man, but I lost my girl. At least I've got my steady. The whiskey in my desk drawer. Come on, baby. We'll do dinner and a movie.
Detective, Private Detective, Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone, was written and directed by Jesse Thorne, Eugene O'Neill, and Jordan Morris. It's featured Jesse Thorne, Eugene O'Neill, Jordan Morris, Vanessa McCroskey, and Emily. Just Emily. Stay tuned for more of The Sound of Young America.